WGXC 90.7 from the Hudson Studio in New York. I'm Nancy Marin, your host for the Social Graces Program. The Social Graces Program covers all things pertaining to etiquette, manners, and protocol. Good afternoon. My guest today is Marielle Fiore from Bard College. Thanks for being here.
No problem. Thank you for inviting me.
It's a pleasure to meet you. Do you have a show on the in WGXC too?
Yes, thanks for letting me plug my show.
Well, go ahead.
It's every Friday at 10 a.m. here at WGXC. It's in Spanish. It's called ¿Qué cocinaré hoy? I co-host the show with Antonio Flores Lobos. We are both journalists. Antonio is from Mexico. I'm from Argentina. So it's a lot of fun. Hopefully you can listen to it every Friday morning at 10 a.m.
Okay.
¿Qué cocinaré hoy?
Okay. I only know a little bit of Spanish, so I really don't know what you just said, but that's okay.
¿Qué cocinaré hoy means what's cooking today?
Oh, what's cooking today?
But it's not about food necessarily, it's just news and information and interviews as well.
So I had a question to start out. Tell us about your home country and how did you come to be in Hudson, New York from Argentina?
Yes, it's a little far away. It's maybe 10-11 hours by plane from New York City to Buenos Aires, so it's very far. But I first moved to Spain in 2001, 3 months before the big economic crisis in Argentina. And then in June 2013, I came to the Hudson Valley due to personal reasons. And when I got here, I discovered Bard College, and I discovered this area, which is so beautiful and full of cultural life. That was something I was missing when I moved to Spain, because I was living in a very small town with no cultural life. Beautiful as well, nice people, but there wasn't much going on. Being from Buenos Aires, I would say the capital of theater of Latin America, and you know, we have a very big publishing houses. And all these things happening that I love about Buenos Aires, I didn't see that in the little town in Spain. And coming here, so much cultural life, I love it. So I decided to stay, and I was lucky enough that when I moved, there was a student at Bard College who wanted to start a newsletter in Spanish, because she saw that there was a lot of people from Latin America living in this area, mostly from Mexico, that needed a source of information in Spanish. I'm a journalist. That's what I studied, and that's what I like to do. So I jumped right onto that opportunity, and we started a publication that is now turning 10 years old called La Voz. So this started as a student project, but it's no longer a student project now. It's a full-fledged, I would say, mini in the sense of budget publication. But we print 5,000 copies every month. We distribute throughout Dutchess, Ulster, Orange, and a little bit here in Colombia, mostly in Hudson and Malaysia. So that's a summary.
Okay. I've just looking on the internet, I found out that you have basically three different kinds of languages within Argentina?
Well, the official language is Spanish. That's the language that most people learn in school. But depending on the regions where you are, the city of Buenos Aires and around surrounding areas is Spanish, unless, you know, there are people from other countries that want to speak English, but mostly it's Spanish. But if you go to the northwest, you will find some communities that speak Quechua, which is an indigenous language, a descendant of the former Inca Empire that occupied Peru, what is now Peru, Ecuador, Chile, and north of Argentina. If you go to the northeast of the country, some people would speak Guarani. Guarani is another indigenous language that was spoken, actually is now right now the official language of Paraguay. Paraguay, which is a neighboring country of Argentina, has two official languages, Spanish and Guarani. In Argentina, the only official language is Spanish, though you can hear these other languages. They are not taught at school. And in some places where there is a large indigenous community in the school, yes, they have bilingual education, so the kids can learn better. If they don't speak Spanish, they speak their indigenous tongues, so they need to learn. but officially Spanish is the only language.
When you did make the move here, what were some of the main differences between the U.S. and Argentina concerning maybe customs and etiquette and protocol? What stood out for you?
Well, when you asked me to come to the show, Social Manners, I started thinking, what are the things that, you know, and the first thing for me is how do you say hello? Because in Argentina, people give kisses. You know, you kiss everyone in the cheek. Everyone.
Even if you don't know them?
You kiss a man and a woman, your friends. You know, if you are being introduced to a person, you usually kiss them in the cheek. Maybe if it is a very professional business situation, you take the lead from the other person. If the other person has more authority than you, if the person is leaning towards you, then you kiss the person in the cheek. But here, it's everyone extends their hand. Mm-hmm. Even at church, I'm Catholic. I don't go so much to church, but sometimes I do. And when they do this part of giving peace to each other in Argentina, in the mass, you just turn yourself around and you start kissing everyone, you know, around you, and you say peace be with you. Mm-hmm. And here I notice that people extend their hands, and sometimes they don't even touch hands by giving peace, because I feel like, oh, maybe they are afraid some people have germs. Yeah. We all have germs, right? So that was for me the most striking thing, that the way to interact, the first thing, the hello part, was so different. And another thing, I was also, because I was coming to the show, I was doing some research on what people in America get taught before going to Argentina. So I got list and list of things that you should and should not do when you go there. But what I found very funny is what about timeliness? And if you get invited to a party, you had to be there half an hour or 1 hour later than the hour.
I have this in my notes. I couldn't believe that.
It is true, you know. And of course, you cannot take more than 1 hour to arrive. But, you know, when I was there, all my friends knew. So they would give me another time frame because I was later than most people. But here I'm usually on time because, of course, you adapt to wherever you are. That was very striking to me too, because I organized dinner parties at my home, and one of my best friends, I would say 6 p.m. and he would be there 5:50, which is 10 minutes earlier. And I was like,
that's going the other way.
You know, like, yeah, it's okay to be on time, but this is way too much. I didn't even comb my hair.
Right.
So I think that's very
too early.
That's very impolite to be so early, or, you know, right on the spot.
That's rare though, probably.
Yeah, I would say people in Argentina will be like half an hour later. If you invite them to dinner and they come to your home half an hour after the hour you say, that's perfectly normal and acceptable.
I know.
If you arrive, if I tell you come at 7 and you arrive at 7, I would say, what's wrong with her?
Even though you said maybe on the invitation, yeah, dinner at 7, but you really mean 7:45.
Yeah, but that's kind of strange. I know it's strange from this perspective, but if you are there, it's okay. Yeah, that's the way it is. So those are the things that strike me.
Well, another thing that I saw that was kind of funny is, let's see, it was gift giving. Mm-hmm. And it's, I mean, I don't know anything about the part of the neck of the woods you're from, you know. So I went online and one of them said, gift giving. And here's what it said. Do not give gifts of knives and scissors,
yeah,
as they indicate a desire to sever the relationship.
Oh, yes.
Is that for real?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you would not give a knife as a gift. I think it's very bad taste to give a knife. It means that you want to cut that person. You know, you are wishing something negative.
Well,
you are better off with chocolates or a bottle of wine, you know,
yeah,
flowers, things like that.
And I wanted to go back to about the different languages, if you could explain that a little bit clearer to me about the three different languages in your one country.
Well, Argentina, as the rest of America, was originally inhabited by indigenous people, native people. And then in the 1600s, 1500s, Spaniards arrived, and they conquered most of the continent, even, you know, south of the United States. So Spanish for three centuries became the dominant language. And in Argentina, there were also indigenous nations living. They were not, apparently, according to research, not so advanced as the Aztecs or the Incas themselves, but there were many communities. And right now, the official language is Spanish. In some parts of the country, which is as big, it's a third, it's the size is a third of the United States. Argentina is as big as a third of the United States. So you can see it's such a big place. Mm-hmm. There are many different things going on. And there were indigenous tribes or groups living there. And right now, the languages that you mentioned to me before the show, Quechua, is very popular in the northwest of the country. That would be the provinces of Salta and Jujuy. I'm from Buenos Aires. I think like three quarters of the people in Argentina live in urban areas, and that's Buenos Aires, the surrounding of Buenos Aires, that's like 15 million people overall, plus the five other big cities. So most people don't live in those provinces that I mentioned, but of course there are people there that speak Quechua. So that has been passed on through generations. And then in the northeast of the country, there are several provinces, in particular Misiones, the province of Misiones. I don't know if you heard about the Cataratas del Iguazú, Iguazú Falls. This is a beautiful, beautiful falls, much more beautiful than the Niagara Falls because these are surrounded by forest, by a jungle. I've been to Niagara Falls, they're beautiful, but it's all surrounded by cement, right? Mm-hmm, and they kept the jungle around it, so it's beautiful. So the Iguazu Falls share boundary with Brazil and Argentina. So in that province, where the Iguazu Falls are, in Misiones, people speak, also Corrientes next to that, they speak Guarani. But as I say, Guarani is not the official language of the country, it's just what people used to speak there, mostly coming from Paraguay. That's where another country where the official language is both Spanish and Guarani.
Is the Dakar, is that in Argentina?
The race?
Yes.
I'm not sure.
It's somewhere down there, though,
yeah,
right?
They have a lot of races going on.
Yeah.
I'm not precise at this point.
So you're not into motorcycles? Okay.
Not really.
Yeah. Another thing I've just read on the internet is that it's considered polite to leave a small amount of food on your plate when you have finished eating. Like you don't ever just clean the whole plate. You leave a little bit of food on the plate.
Yes, when you go to have dinner someplace, people usually do that. And I don't know why, but exactly what you say. It's if you eat everything, it's like you are desperate, you know. And
okay, so
it's like the opposite would be to start licking the plate or something like that, right? So that in any that wouldn't be very polite as well. But I don't know how they call it here, but you remind me of something. When there is a group of people around a tray of food, and everyone serves themselves, and there is this tiny thing of food that is at the end, and no one wants to take it.
That must be what they were talking
so no
about.
No one wants to take it because they say that it's el del tímido, you know, like this piece of food is the one for the shy person, and of course no one will take it. So at the end, someone say, okay, I eat it. But when everyone is super relaxed at the very end, if not, everyone leaves that there. I don't know why, but yeah, that's the way it is.
And do you drink wine?
Yes.
Okay, because they also talked a lot about in pouring wine, is it true that there are many rituals and cultural taboos about pouring wine? Like you do it a certain way, maybe different from any other country?
I don't know how to compare with other countries, but what I do know is that usually the host will pour the wine for you, and if there is a man and a woman, usually the man will pour the wine. I'm talking about pouring and drinks. Our national drink is mate. I don't know if you read about mate. But
I didn't.
You didn't?
Is that wine or beer or what?
It's an infusion. It's a sort of tea.
Oh.
So everyone drinks mate, and I printed out for you so you can see it. This is the mate. So it's a gourd that you filled up with a herb, which is called mate. Mate... has some sort of caffeine in it, and you put that little straw, and then you pour water on it, and people drink from it, and then they pass it around. That's very different
from this little straw.
Yeah, it's a metal straw.
Okay.
You drink from it. You put some water. You drink, and then put more hot water and give it to another person. So everyone is drinking it, from that.
That's what
straw.
I'm trying to get at.
Everyone is
the metal straw.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's okay.
It's a social drink. You drink with friends when you go. But this is not only Argentina. I must say that it's also very traditionally in south of Brazil, Paraguay, Uruguay, and Chile. So mostly all South Americans drink mate. And they say that Uruguayans are the people who more mate drink, because they are maybe riding a bike and they bring a thermos under the arm. And they are riding a bike with the thermos. And I don't know how they do it, but they also have the gourd in the other hand. And I've seen people like this, you know, like they drink mate the whole day. They say it's much healthier than coffee. So right now you can find it also in stores, in some health food stores here.
And what is it called?
Mate, M-A-T-E. M-A-T-E.
M-A-T-E.
So people drink it in the gourd, but you can also drink it in any container. Sometimes I make it as a tea. So actually every morning I don't drink coffee, I drink mate.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't drink it from the gourd because it takes a long time. As I say, it's social. So you are just sitting in a round circle of people and you drink and talk, eat a little sweet. A lot of students in college, when they are preparing for exams, they are drinking mate. You know, they come together and drink mate.
Is it alcohol or is it just tea?
It's a tea. It's
okay.
A tea.
And do you have the silver straw that
at
you...
At home, yes, I have like five of them. Yeah, because these things... So it's a tradition to drink mate from the gourd, but there is also a long-standing tradition of silver mates. So they are made of silver and the gourd and the straw as well. And these are pieces of art, and there are museums where you see these things in exhibition.
Oh, yes. Neat.
Yep. So I'm going to read you a little bit about the history of mate, because this you didn't know. And since you talk about the Guarani people,
mm-hmm.
mate was first consumed by the indigenous Guarani and also spread by the Tupi people who live in that part of southern Brazil, which was Paraguayan territory before the Paraguayan War. Therefore, the scientific name of the yerba mate is Ilex paraguayensis. The consumption of yerba mate became widespread with the European colonization in the Spanish colony of Paraguay in the late 16th century, both among Spanish settlers and indigenous Guarani who consumed it before the Spanish arrival. And I don't want to continue because there's a lot of story, but Brazil is the largest producer of mate. But in Argentina now, it's the Brazilian entrepreneurs turned their attention to coffee in the 1930s. Argentina, which had long been the prime consumer, took over as the largest producer of mate. And there was a part about etiquette of mate. And I am very excited about the etiquette of mate, because if you are in a group, in a circle, and there is only one person who's going to be serving for everyone. That's called el cebador, the person who serves the mate for everyone. I'm telling you about this because I heard that you have a show on tea etiquette.
I did.
Yeah.
I did.
So uh-huh. I said, okay, why not talk about our own
sure.
tea, which is mate. So this person serves el cebador, and the first mate that you pour in this core is very strong. So you don't give it to anyone. The person who's serving usually drinks it or throw it or something. But if you give it to someone, they call it el mate del tonto. So the mate of the idiot, if you take it, right? So if you want to be polite, the first mate, if you are pouring, you don't give it. You drink it yourself and bear the bitterness, because it's very bitter. And people say that if you are good, you drink the bitter mate. If you are not as Argentinian or as strong, you put sugar on it.
Is it like sugar?
Yeah, or? Just sugar. You can put sugar or honey. Mm-hmm. I drink it bitter. I'm strong. But that doesn't mean anything. You know, like most people would say bitter is better, but if someone puts sugar, I'm not going to look down on anyone if they put sugar on the mate, because it's strong. And some people say it's also an acquired taste. Some of my American friends say love it, and some of them say this tastes like soil. Okay, I don't know.
Like soy?
Soil.
Soiled.
Yeah, like soil, because... I don't know. I don't think it tastes like soil. It's a tea. It's some sort of tea. So the etiquette about it is you drink the first one and then pass it around. And when you finish drinking, you give it back to the person who's serving, but you don't say thank you, because if you say thank you, that means that you don't want any more. Mm. So you say thank you because everyone is in a round, takes turns. So when you give it back, you just say it was very good. You can say whatever you want to say, but don't say thank you.
And that means you want another round.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you don't want to be in the next round, you say gracias, thank you, and then
you're done.
That means you are done.
I see. And that still goes on now. It's not old fashioned. It's
yes. Yeah. That happens.
Current.
That happens. Yep. That continues to happen. And another thing, there's a lot of mythology around the serving mate. The straw, you are not supposed to touch the straw when you are drinking. You just position yourself in such a way that you can swallow without touching the straw with your fingers, right? Or accommodate, like rearrange the straw. They say that very bad things will happen to a man if he does that, or a woman.
And they believe that? They're superstitious?
Well, they say the superstition, but I've been reading about why you cannot move the straw. But it's because if you are pouring the water in certain direction, then the water circulates better for the herb. But if you keep moving the straw, you are messing up the whole system.
Maybe the tea leaves at the bottom of the bowl, you don't want to stir that too much.
Yes.
Or
so that you should not stir anything, just take it the way it is. So that's some things about mate.
I was going to ask you, too, about your vacation is January and February down there, right?
Yes, because it's summertime.
Yeah, yeah, your summertime. And in business, do you have, like, a printed card, one side is English and one side is Spanish on the other? For most businessmen and women that would have cards in Argentina?
People have cards that are in Spanish, unless you are doing business internationally. So it depends on what business you are.
Okay.
Right? If you are selling houses in your own country, you would have your cards in Spanish or whatever you are doing. That doesn't require going abroad then. But a lot of people are also doing business through around Latin, South America. Most the language is Spanish or Portuguese. Mm-hmm. So maybe if there is translation with Spanish and Portuguese.
I saw something in your note about the tango.
Oh, the tango.
So we've got like 2 minutes left. If you could, is that a certain way you have to do that, or a protocol of some way?
Yeah, well.
And do you tango?
I have to admit, I don't dance tango. Oh. So I don't feel the stereotype. I'm sorry. I don't dance tango. And that's something, you know, that my for some people might be offensive. Just because I'm Argentinian, people think I tango. I don't. You know.
Yeah, it's like if you live down south here, it doesn't mean you do the Western dance, you know. A lot of people don't know how to do the...
Yeah.
The boot scoot doobie and all that stuff down in Arkansas where I'm from.
So yeah, so I know I love the music of tango. I like to watch the shows. I love it. But I took several classes, but I'm not good at it. What I can say that I learned from the classes is that the man leads and the woman follows, and you have to take that as a given. That's the way it is in tango.
And did you practice that in Argentina or somewhere in the States?
Both places. I went to classes here and there. My dad, he dances tango, and with my mom, they dance all over. But when my dad tries to teach me, he says that I don't follow him. Yes, I don't follow him.
What he's saying is you have two left feet.
No, he's just saying that I don't follow him. But that's okay. but some things about tango dance and etiquette that I found online, and I feel like these are more common sense than etiquette. But yes, of course it's etiquette, but etiquette has to do with common sense, taking care of your boundaries and the other person's boundaries. Mm-hmm. Don't hang around the dance floor if you are not dancing. I would say that would be applied with any other dance as
yes.
well, right?
If not, yeah, sure.
People are going to bump onto you. Don't stay in a high traffic dance area if you're trying to show someone a new step. Move to a corner or off the dance floor completely. Don't stop in the outer lane while dancing. Those are the fastest lanes on the dance floor, and the slower lanes are in the middle. Don't talk too much while dancing. Yeah, I would say if you're dancing, don't talk.
Okay. I have so enjoyed your company today.
Thank you.
I think we could maybe even have another show.
Okay, no problem.
And I'm just trying to have something else, you know, something different to talk about from other countries, etiquette and protocol and things like that. And I really appreciate you being here.
No problem. Thank you, Nam.
Thank you.